This is Chapel for January 23rd, 1963. Chaplain George Bowdler is our speaker.
The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, make thy consciousness our consciousness. May thy near presence call us afresh to thee in these moments. We lift up to thee the joyous thanksgiving which we feel in knowledge of thee, that which gives us understanding of ourselves and calls us into thy service. Lift from us the cares and burdens of this day, and grant that such fellowship might encourage us in learning as we seek to increase the witness to thy love and salvation. Give us the occasion to make wise choices for thee. Encourage the strength that we possess, that it might triumph over our weaknesses. Let us sorrow with those who sorrow, but not without hope. And give us continued joy in thy care and keeping. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is my privilege this morning to welcome to our campus and to our chapel worship Chaplain George Bowdler of the South Carolina Baptist Hospital. Many of you from South Carolina perhaps are already acquainted with Chaplain Bowdler. He was born of missionary parents in Argentina and has since adopted South Carolina, he says, as his native state. He received his B.A. degree from Furman University and his B.D., Th.M., and Ph.D. degrees from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. He received his clinical pastoral training at the South Carolina State Hospital and at North Carolina Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem. He is now director of the Department of Pastoral Care at the South Carolina Baptist Hospital and chaplain supervisor of the School of Pastoral Care. We welcome him with us today.
I do appreciate this opportunity of, in an unofficial sense at least, representing South Carolina and having an opportunity to greet many of the students from our state and others who have attended schools in South Carolina. We hope that this opportunity will be available at other times. I'll be here the rest of today. I want to share with you this morning something of my own personal experiences. I know that's not usually good form to speak about oneself, but I want to illustrate at least what I'm aiming at in terms of some personal experiences. And I want to preface these remarks with a statement by Charles Stinnett in his devotional book, grace and the searching of our heart that gives perhaps best of all the theological background and feeling, at least, surrounding all of clinical pastoral training, the experiences that grow out of a hospital pastoral education program. He says, one of the dangers of the church with which God, as Holy Spirit, must continually struggle is the tendency of the church to idolatrize itself and to reduce personal and dynamic truth to abstract, freedom-destroying formulae. And it is this phrase, this personal and dynamic truth, which the Holy Spirit of God, I think, is constantly seeking to bring into our own personal lives and into the lives of our churches, and which I think many of us feel is so sadly lacking in many of our churches today. And that I think the hospital's contribution in terms of clinical training, in terms of the pastor's own experiences with his people in a hospital situation, that these all focus on this very problem here that I've just read about. If the church turns in on itself, if we are consumed in activism purely for the sake of the church, if the church turns inward, as it were, it loses this personal dynamic aspect oftentimes that should be one of the basic elements. Let me illustrate something here from my own experience. I went through college and seminary, all of the work prescribed. I served in a pastorate two pastorates for approximately 4 to 5 years. And together with my wife, we were appointed to Guatemala, Central America, seeking to serve the Lord in our ministry. And yet, as I look back on these experiences, as valuable as they were, I realize now that I had not come to grips with many of the realities of life. I had not suffered. I had not entered into the tragedies of life, into man's predicament. I gave assent to all of the truths that we learn, but as far as the personal experience of really entering in to the sufferings of life, I had not touched upon these. And it was only during our missionary service, the first year, when our oldest son, then 5 and a half, was stricken with polio and had to be flown into the Polio Center Charity Hospital, New Orleans. And as I lived through those agonizing hours and days, the first week particularly, in that hospital, the first time that I had really come face to face with a crisis, a major crisis in my life, I think I came to experience something with God that I had never before experienced. There was the pleading of the stricken father's heart, certainly. There was the pacing back and forth in the hospital halls. There was the wrestling, as it were, with the angel at the brook Jabbok. In this crisis situation, and there was the moment of peace in being able to let go of all of the human strivings in the situation. And the moment of peace as God took over, as it were, in the situation and in my feelings, in my thinking, in my life. This was the starting point of my pilgrimage that leads me to be here today as a chaplain supervisor and as a participant in the movement of clinical pastoral education that has had a phenomenal growth in the last 10 years and is becoming more and more part of pastoral education throughout the land in a very meaningful way and in a very timely way, may I say. It grows out of the feeling that many of our lay people have of a desire for more of this personal dynamic experience that comes as we face in the laboratory of life, and the hospital as one of the clinical laboratories of life, in which we face the realities of sin, of suffering, of brokenness, of human despair and tragedy, and put to the test really all that we give lip service to in our reading, in our teaching, in our preaching, here in the crucible of human experience and human suffering, the gospel must be brought and must be lived, must be exemplified, must be forged, if you will. And of course, it is at this point that the clinical education program offers its greatest contribution. For as long as everything is going along fairly well for us in our personal lives, and as long as everything is going along fairly satisfactory in our church life or whatever other church vocation we may have, we are not forced to face ourselves. Nor are we forced to face the deepest problems of and questions of human life and existence. But to go down into the valley of suffering with a patient, whether a mental or a physically ill person, to really enter into the experience of bereavement with a family who faces the lifeless form of its loved one right there and then, and to really feel with these people their experience of loss in a Christian way, to mean something to them in this context, without necessarily saying a single word, but just by being there, and just by what you are, what you represent, convey, minister, channel something of the grace of God to people in the hours of their extreme need. This is an enriching experience, and it's a humbling experience. Perhaps we Christians and the church at large suffers from the fact that we We say too much. We say too many words. And oftentimes we don't really mean what we say. But when we are with people and when we really allow ourselves to be partakers, sharers in the experience of that moment, then we are entering into the true meaning of the Christian koinonia. This is the fellowship. The church is a corporate fellowship, and all that is implied in that, the meaning of the church, which has been, I think, largely lost in so many ways, and which this type of experience offers us the opportunity of recapturing in our own lives and then implementing through our own experience in the life of our churches. Someone has said that the greatest missing ingredient today in our churches, as well as in other parts of life, is this face-to-face confrontation of being with others, not in a mass or an impersonal experience. And I fear that sometimes even our worship experiences are of this nature. But rather the face-to-face encounter with one another, in which we drop our pretenses and we don't try to be better than what we actually are. Here is this moment of truth, where if in a local church people were to begin saying to each other, you know, these are the problems that I'm struggling with in my life, and then the other man would say, well, you know, I'm having the same difficulties, and I struggle with some of these same temptations, and then the spirit of honesty and thereby true humility would grow in the fellowship of the church. And we would discard for a while maybe all of the offices and all of the thought of the leadership channels. And if we would just get down to this face-to-face confrontation of each other as human beings, as we really are, I frankly feel that this is the basis for a renewal in the church. We hear much today about the lay movement, the renewal of the laity, the lay apostolate, the awakening of laymen in the church as really the only hope of the church today to cease to be irrelevant in so much of what it does and to strike out at society and at life and penetrate and permeate for Christ and the gospel. And where is it going to start? I frankly feel that it must start in this manner. We who are in the ministry, we who are servants of Christ, we must start here with ourselves. And may I add this note in closing, that next, or rather interestingly enough, the two highest spiritual moments of my life in recent years, at least, the one I've already told you here of an encounter with God during the critical illness of this child, and the other was an encounter with a clinical pastoral training group in which I, as a member of the group, was enabled by the grace of God and the fellowship of the group to look at myself and actually to share myself in a face-to-face confrontation with other Christians, and to see myself not as Dr. So-and-so or Chaplain So-and-so, but as just plain George Bowdler, a human being, by the grace of God, with all the problems that all of us face as human beings, and with the ability given by God to see himself with his fellows in a close fellowship of Christian understanding. I think if we are to recapture this matter of personal and dynamic truth, if the Holy Spirit is truly to work in and through the churches, there must be a willingness in the hearts of many to come to this place. It's a place of humbling. It's a place of honesty. It's a place of willingness. And yet that is the place of power in our personal lives. Someone has said that clinical pastoral education makes its greatest contribution at the point of man's confrontation with himself, with all of the other truths, certainly God-given truths that surround man. But in affording us this opportunity, we come to grips with realities, and we come to grips with God as we explore the inner dimension and as we see ourselves as we truly are. I think that as Christians, we can make an impact on the world only as we go, as starving beggars, having found bread, sharing with other beggars. May we bow in prayer. Wilt thou, O God, minister to each one of us according to thy grace and according to our need? May we accept the difficulties, the problems of life, not as a means to discouragement or defeat, but as a means for growth. Help us to realize afresh that thy Spirit uses face-to-face encounters, interpersonal relationships, as a means of working in our hearts and of conveying the gospel in a meaningful way to others. Help us to grasp the scope of pastoral care as it involves all of the gospel in its meaning for human life. Help us to have a new compassion for each other and for the people to whom we minister, realizing that they too struggle with all of the complexities of our age and of their personal lives. And help us to experience thy grace in such a way as to be able to enter in to their experiences and to be meaningful ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.